Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. God's word is powerful and life-changing. God's word has the ability to transform us. God's word has the ability to renew our minds and set us on the right path to walk in this present life. Glory to God. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast, where our lives have been enriched and transformed by the word of God. And we've been studying what to do if and when I sin as a Christian. This is episode 114. Hallelujah. What to do if and when I sin as a Christian. Yesterday, I was able to show us from scriptures that the believer ought to cultivate the habit or culture of repenting. You must learn to cultivate the habit of repenting when you fall into sin. Repentance or repenting from your errors is not the same as sin consciousness. Many of those exuberant and juvenile grace preachers, in quotes, have rubbish the idea of repentance. People tell you there's no such thing like repentance. Just live your life for Jesus. Don't be sorry for whatever you have done, because that's sin consciousness. That's mixing up issues. Sin consciousness is what happened to Adam in the garden, in the which he began to try to hide from God, though he couldn't hide from God. I mean, where do you go? Praise God. But that sin consciousness playing out, he felt unworthy to stand before the Lord. He felt unworthy to stand in the presence of the Lord. And you see, believers who are beset with sin consciousness today, though they can't run away from Christ, they can't run outside of Christ, in their mind, there's a wall. Hallelujah. There's a wall. There's a barricade. They are trying to hide their faces from God. They are not free. They are not. There's this feeling of there's this overwhelming feeling of unworthiness in the sight of God. Now that sin consciousness, that guilt, that is what the Bible frowns against. That's what the Word of God, admonishes us to put away, to take away from our lives, sin consciousness. However, repentance, admitting your faults or feeling sorry, is not the same as sin consciousness. Praise God. You see, the moment we can't separate these two things, we're going to raise believers who are so irresponsible. We're going to raise believers who have no feeling, who don't feel remorse for their wrongs. Praise God. Imagine how that will play out in different relationships. Imagine having a husband that commits adultery and then, you know, because he doesn't want to walk in sin consciousness, he says, he's not sorry, man. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I moves on without any apology. Imagine how, you know, that kind of mindset or attitude or disposition would play out in different relationships. Friends that wrong themselves and don't even say sorry. You have pastors that wrong church members that wrong their leaders, and nobody is apologizing, nobody is saying sorry, nobody is admitting their faults to one another. You know, that's part of repentance, because they have misunderstood the concept of repentance. They've mistaken sin consciousness to be the same as admitting your faults. They are not the same. Hallelujah. They are not the same. Sin consciousness is feeling unworthy of God, a feeling of enmity. Praise God. A feeling of having an enmity, you know, towards God, or God having enmity towards you because of what you have done. That's sin consciousness. A feeling of God is against me. God is against me. God is not for me anymore. God is fighting me. God is here to judge and punish me for my sins. That's sin consciousness. Repentance, on the other hand, is not sin consciousness. Repentance is simply turning away from the error of your ways. Now, listen to this. I'm going to say a few things today and then we'll continue tomorrow. Listen to this carefully. The reason why many people do not find it easy to receive the admonition concerning repentance is because they feel that repentance is something that happens much later in the life of some believers. You know, that is when a believer commits sin, then he begins to think of repentance. And that's the reason why, you know, that concept or idea of repentance sounds strange to several young believers today. It sounds strange to them. Why should we repent? I mean, why? What are we repenting from? Hasn't Jesus taken away our sins? And then rightly so, Jesus has taken away our sins. And then they are also right when they say that repentance is to have a rethink, to have a change of mind. I also teach it that way. Repentance is to have a change of mind. Repentance is to have a rethink. Glory to God. Now, for the unbeliever, repentance is turning away from unbelief to faith in Christ Jesus. Bible says that Jesus went around preaching, repent and believe the gospel. So the repentance was to believe in the gospel. Repent, therefore, believe in the gospel. Repent by believing in the gospel. Bible says John the Baptist was preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. The repentance was a call away from the ceremonial, ceremonial culture, ceremonial traditions of washing away sins in the Old Testament to having faith in Jesus, the Lamb of God, which John was pointing to. Hallelujah. Which John was pointing to. So, for the sinner, it's repentance from unbelief to faith. The sinner is not required to repent from his ways, his errors. He's not required to repent from bad habits. Because the truth of the matter is, he doesn't have the capacity. Let's quickly see this at Romans chapter 7. He's in such a state, a position in which he can do nothing about his habits. Hallelujah. Except for those who have some good moral upbringing, and then they have some strength, some areas of strength in which you find an unbeliever who is behaving well, is well behaved. Moral. There are people like that. Hallelujah. There are folks like that. But, for people who have gotten stuck with habits and addictions and all kinds of funny attitudes, it's difficult for them to come out of those things because they don't have the capacity to break free from those things. From now till Jesus comes, before Jesus came, when he came and from now till when he will come back again, the only power over the lust of the flesh is a walk in the Spirit. So the unbeliever that is destitute of the Spirit of God and the life of God cannot boast of walking above the lust of the flesh when he becomes entangled in the same. Praise God. So look at Romans chapter 7. For the unbeliever, it is repentance from unbelief to faith in Christ. He's not required to repent from habits, sinful ways and all of that. He's a sinner. He can't be repenting from that which, is a natural byproduct of his nature. That's like telling a bird to stop flying. That's like telling a goat or a sheep to stop acting the way they are naturally meant to act. That's like telling a dog to stop barking. It's impossible. You can't tell a sinner to stop sinning. So repentance for the sinner is first to receive Christ, receive the life of God, receive forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, by which is released and delivered from the power of sin. Glory to God. Romans chapter 7, I'll read from verse 7. Glory to God. Romans chapter 7, I'll read from verse 7. Bible says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Hallelujah. It says, but sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. You see that? So look at this other place from verse 14. Bible says, for I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. Have you seen that's the peril of the sinner? He is in bondage to that nature. Hallelujah. That which I am doing, I do not understand. It says, for what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate to do, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So sin dwells in the unbeliever. Because of that, there's a motion, there's a force that is beyond his will. Praise God. Now, listen to this also. The desire to do what is right did not come naturally to men. Hallelujah. After the fall, after men, were sunk into depravity, the desire to do good actually came from the law. It came from the external laws and the commandments that formed the conscience of man. What is conscience? It's a consciousness of what is consciousness of a certain knowledge of what is good or what is bad. Praise God. So what brought that knowledge to men is the law. Law, moral laws, things around you, anything that has served to frame what you consider to be good or evil has helped in that regard. Hallelujah. Helped your conscience to identify what is good and what is bad. Praise God. So the desire to do good is from the law. So he says, I agree with the law that it is good. I see the law, I see the demands, and I'm like, wow, the law is only just and good. The law is only commanding that which is fitting. The law is only demanding what is right. The law is telling me not to be covetous. The law is telling me not to steal. The law is telling me not to murder. I mean, these are very good virtues. Praise God. But then I found out, you know, according to Paul in his old life, in his previous state of being unsaved, he says, I found out that the good I want to do, I cannot do. Why? Because sin dwells within me. Praise God. So the unbeliever is not required to change his habits. That is not the repentance that is required from sinners. The repentance required from them is to turn away from unbelief to faith in Christ. So that means they are meant to receive the gospel. Hallelujah. That's why you see that many places where repentance was not taught or preached, in the book of Acts, people were saved. And that was considered to be repentance. They were not preaching repent, repent, repent in every scenario. But people received the gospel, they embraced the message of Christ, and they were saved. And you see, that was considered to be repentance, true repentance towards God. Hallelujah. Now, I said the reason why a lot of believers find it difficult to accept that they ought to repent when they fall into sin is because they feel that it is something that will come much later in their lives. But then, repentance for the believer begins the moment he receives the gospel. The moment you become born again. From that instance, hallelujah, from that moment, you are required to begin to repent. It's the beginning of your walk. Hallelujah. So, and you see, that repentance is not like the repentance that is required of sinners. It is not just changing, it's not changing from unbelief to faith. You're already in the faith. This time around, it is changing your attitude, your behavior, taking deliberate effort to grow up in the faith. Hallelujah. So it's an important thing. Praise God. So if you understand this, you won't find it difficult to accept that if you eventually now get stuck in sin, get stuck in sinful habits and addictions or whatever, you ought to repent. Because from the moment you believed in the gospel, repentance became a natural lifestyle. You are going to keep repenting till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. That's why the apostles did not hesitate to instruct the saints to conduct themselves in a manner that is worthy of God. The moment they received the gospel, they were not pampering them, well, you're still a baby. No, they made them realize that from today, there's a way you ought to live. From today, there's a way you ought to conduct yourself. Do you know why? You have the ability and the capacity. And the first thing you must do, as we shall see, is to give yourself perpetually to the word of God. That is the place you begin to repent. That's where the repentance begins. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Repentance, very crucial. Glory to God, very crucial. It ought to be the kind of teaching that delights your heart, that delights your soul as a Christian. Several believers don't want to hear anything about repentance. Amen. Especially those who claim that sin is dead and all that, you know, there's nothing like sin again. I was engaging a young man who said, there's nothing like sin anymore. Jesus already put sin to death. There's no sin in the world. There's no sin in the church. There's no sin anywhere. I said, brother, you just sinned. Praise God. Oh God. Jesus looked at the Jews and he says, you err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For not understanding God's word and misrepresenting the mind of God, you are sinning. Praise God. For saying sin is dead and there's no sin in the world, you are sinning. Hallelujah. Sin is not dead. We are dead to sin. They are two different things. Glory to God. We are dead to sin. There is darkness in the world, but we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. But there are folks yet in darkness that we're meant to rescue. If there's no sin in the world, then why are we preaching to sinners? You see that you're already tending towards universalism, in the which you say that there are no sinners in the world anymore. And that's how a lot of them end up in universalism. From preaching that there's no sin in the world, you just agree. You just quickly start preaching, because they sound alike. You just start preaching that there are no sinners also in the world. I mean, it would take sin, sin has to be in the world for us to have sinners in the world. So if there's no sin in the world, there can't be sinners in the world. But the reason why there are sinners in the world today is because there is still sin in the world. Hallelujah. There's sin in the world. There's unrighteousness in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone does not loves the world and the things thereof, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, these are not of the Father. So you see the apostles, you see the way they mention those things, the way they talk about those things, the things that still remain in the world, these things that exist in the world, the things that are yet in the world. He says they are not of the Father. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. This is sin. Hallelujah. So look at this. Ephesians chapter 4. The believer is meant to make a practice of repentance the moment he believes in the gospel. Repentance becomes a culture. It becomes your lifestyle, your habit. It becomes something you are deliberately making efforts, you know, to achieve, to attain. You want to grow in the knowledge of God. And by so doing, your lifestyle, your work is affected. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read from verse 17. Bible says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." You see, the moment you are saved, we can instruct you, don't walk any longer like you used to walk. Praise God. You see, don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Don't think that you are placing some unnecessary burden on a new convert. When you see somebody who just believed the gospel, maybe you just led a soul to Christ, don't spare them. Don't say, you know, they just believe. Just leave them. You know, the person says, "I'm going for a particular concert." You know that the concert is weird. All manner of funny things are going to take place there. He's still going to drink with his friends and get drunk. He's going to... Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't say, "Yeah, well, he's a new convert. With time, he's going to understand." Oh my, yeah, my day long. No! You have to command and instruct him from today, no longer walk as the rest of your friends. Hallelujah. You have a new life within you now. You have a new spirit within you now. There's a change on the inside. There's a new life. You have the capacity to live for God. You are not of the world anymore. So you've been called out of the world, and you ought to live as one that has been called out of the world. So he says that you should no longer. Hallelujah. If you read through the New Testament, you won't find the word repent, repent, repentance, repentance in the epistles, scattered all through the epistles. You won't find it like that. But then the concept of repentance litters the New Testament instructions. It litters it because this is repentance. To tell you to stop living the way you were living and to start living the way you ought to live. That's repentance. So while you won't find that word prominently used in the epistles, you would find the concept, you will find the idea of repentance represented in the letters of the apostles. Hallelujah. And this is one of those places. Not to walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind. Why are they walking the way they are walking? Because of the state of their minds. So this calls you, this is a call for you to renew your own mind. This calls the Christian to a renewal of his mind. Hallelujah. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. So ignorance, blindness of heart, futility of the mind. All this has to do with the barrenness of the knowledge of God. So the believer is called to fix his mind on the word of God. He's called to renew his mind with the truth of the word of God. As he renews his mind with the truth of the word of God and the state of his mind is changed and altered, then he will begin to live contrary to the ways of the world. Hallelujah. So you see that repentance is the beginning. It's not some deeper level in your walk with God. It is not something that will come much later when you make some staggering mistakes. No, it is the beginning of your walk with Christ. You begin to repent from the day you received the gospel. Hallelujah. Look at verse 19. Who being past feeling, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have you seen that? So it's a call to the renewing of your mind. So when I say to a new convert, from today, don't live the way you used to live anymore. Stop living like your friends that are unsaved. And he says, so what do I do? How do I do? I say, well, you need to start renewing your mind. You need to start coming for meetings. You need to start being taught. Hallelujah. You need to start paying attention to scriptures. You need to start paying attention to prayer. You need to start growing up in the faith. This is the pathway to spiritual maturity. This is the way to progress in the faith. Hallelujah. And the culture is that of repentance. Glory to God. So you see, the following instructions that follow everything Paul said from verse 17 to 23 or 24 actually shows you that we can instruct and command and admonish believers to stop doing that which they used to do, that which they've been used to, and to begin to live the life they have received in Christ Jesus. We can command believers to turn away from the errors of their ways, their old habits. Praise God. You know why? Because the old man is gone. The old nature is gone. The root is gone. The only thing left now is a symptom. Hallelujah. The habits can be dealt with because the root has been destroyed. Glory to God. Look at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Have you seen these instructions stating how believers ought to forsake the old way of living and live in accordance with the new life they have received in Christ Jesus? Praise God. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we can instruct believers to forsake their evil ways, their old ways, their evil habits, the error of their past, and then to walk in accordance with the word of God. And that walk begins by you paying attention to the word of God. Renew your mind with the truth of the word of God. Romans in chapter 12, 1 to 2, and beyond, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the message of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, and this is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is this a call to repentance? From the day you believe, you are told to be transformed. This transformation is not some inward transformation. It's an outward thing. You've been changed on the inside. Now bring that change to the fore, to the surface. Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's repentance. Praise God. That is repentance. And it is vital. Repentance is the way we are going to grow. That is, you make up your mind to change. Hallelujah. You make up your mind to change your attitude. You make up your mind to change your ways. Hallelujah. And then you know you are not trying to do it by struggling and laboring. You are not trying to do it with your own strength. You want to do it by the word of God and prayers. By giving yourself to that which bears spiritual maturity and growth. Glory to God. Look at 1 Peter as I begin to close. 1 Peter chapter 2. We can instruct men who are newly converted to turn away from their ways. Why? Because they now have the ability and the capacity to do so. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you seen now? Lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Have you seen now? So we can instruct believers to lay aside malice. Praise God. How does it do it? By desiring the sincere milk of the word, so that it will grow thereby. Praise God. So there's always a connection, a link between the instruction and the substance that bets those attitudes. So we're not just emphasizing a need for a change in conduct and attitude. We're emphasizing the substance that bets those attitudes in the saints. The word of God, the commitment to the renewing of your mind by the word of God. So repentance is a normal thing. It's a normal thing. As an individual, a Christian, a believer, I've done a whole lot of repenting ever since I met Jesus, I've been doing a whole lot of repenting. Praise God. Sometimes the repentance is as simple as, you know, having a better commitment to your Bible, having a better commitment to praying, having a better commitment to checking up on people, paying attention to the welfare of the saints, having a better commitment to evangelism. Repentance is ongoing. Praise God. Ongoing. Having a better commitment in your relationships. Hallelujah. It's not about some big sins that, you know, religion has, you know, classified. No, it's all about, you know, growing in the faith. It's all about doing things you ought to do more effectively, walking as you ought to walk based on the knowledge you have received in Christ Jesus. So repentance is a normal Christian lifestyle. I want you to embrace this and run with it. Glory to God. Don't dread the word repentance. It's just simple. It just means to change your mindset, change your thoughts, and change your ways. Now, for the believer, it must lead to a change of lifestyle, a change of conduct, a change of behavior, attitudes. It must birth a change. We must see it, that this man is continually repenting and renewing his mind with the word of God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friend to continue the teaching, your friends, your relatives, your colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day also, being full of the word, full of prayer, spiritual songs. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.